In the name of one God, creator, redeemer, and sustainer of our lives. Amen. You may be seated. I'll put a bit of context to today's story. Because the Gospel of Matthew begins, the whole Jesus story begins with actually John the Baptist. And John the Baptist is in the wilderness baptizing. And what John the Baptist says is, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Then Jesus comes, and John sees Jesus coming, and John baptizes Jesus, and the Holy Spirit depends upon Jesus. And then Jesus goes out into the wilderness and fasts for 40 days in the wilderness and is tempted. And then that's what precedes today's gospel reading, where today's gospel reading starts. And today's gospel reading starts by saying, when John the Baptist had been put in prison, Jesus moved to Galilee. So John has been put in prison. Jesus goes into this land of, he moves from Nazareth to Canaan, which is, or to Capernaum, which is the northern part of the Sea of Galilee, which has historically been the land of Zebulun and Naphtali, which has been overrun by the Assyrians, which has been overrun by the Persians, which has been overrun by the Romans. It's always been a land that's been overrun and where people have been politically oppressed, and they're still politically oppressed. And it's where the prophet Isaiah writes, upon people who sat in darkness, you know, the light has come. There's been the shining of light. And then Jesus comes up, and then the text says, once he moves to Capernaum, Jesus starts preaching, repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near. He takes up John's message. And then he starts by walking along the Sea of Galilee, and there's Andrew and Peter sitting in a boat, and Jesus says, follow me and I'll make you fishers of men, and immediately they leave their nets and follow him. Right? And that's where that's the context for today's text. And I've been reflecting on this moment. Last week I reflected on how John tells the story, where it's a much more tentative story, where Jesus walks by and Andrew hears John talking about Jesus, and Andrew starts following Jesus and but doesn't really say anything to him, and Jesus turns around and says, what are you looking for? And Andrew's like, where's your house? Where do you live? I don't really know. Well, I can't talk about it. I don't have words for what I'm looking for. And Jesus says, come and see. So in this telling, you know, and I was reading some folks this week that were suggesting that, well, maybe that one happened first and then this one happened and, you know, and then this one happened afterwards. So it's not like John and Peter didn't know Jesus. All I know is there's two different tellings. John tells it one way and Matthew and Mark tell it in a different way. But it's the immediacy of it. It's the suddenness of it. This man who just kind of walks up and says, follow me. And immediately they leave their nets and follow him. And part of what I've been coming up against this week is, when do we ever do that? When does that ever happen? How does that play out in our lives? So this Wednesday, we're talking about it in the Eucharist group on Wednesday that meets here on Wednesday mornings. And I asked that question, when does this ever happen for you? And, you know, some said, you know, if somebody I loved was in that, it was in, a, in was in that kind of danger, was in danger, I would leave everything to follow them. I would leave everything to go help them, right? And then we're reflecting, there are moments in our lives where we do leave everything. Often, you know, a romantic relationship. Often people get up and go and move across the country for romance, right? Or a new job. People often leave everything they know to start a new life somewhere else. You know, there often if there's a, I mean, especially when you're young, that sense of you leave what you know, what's familiar, what you've been doing every day to find something new. It's the sense of adventure behind it. It's the sense of being able to be part of something greater than ourselves. This is why young men and women go off to war. It's because it's to be part of a bigger narrative than what you're a part of now. And so they'll leave everything and go off and risk their lives to do so. Somebody Wednesday said, well, you know, I think I would have followed a man like Jean Vanier. Jean Vanier was a Catholic monk who started living in community with developmentally disabled adults and had this profound spiritual experience as a result, and he writes about it in many of his books and prompts many people to go and live in these communities which are called large communities. Henry Nouwen left a position of being a professor at Yale and Harvard to go live and be a helper for somebody because of Jean Vanier's influence. I myself worked for a year with developmentally disabled adults because I read one of Jean Vanier's books. I mean, there are moments sometimes where we do leave what we have to seek something, to seek a way of being that's deeper, that's more meaningful, that has some sense of gives us some sense of meaning in a way that we don't have. So, as I was thinking about that this week, there are moments where this happens for us. This is not so unusual that something should bust into our lives and prompt us to turn and seek something deeper. And it's not like there was anything wrong with being a fisherman. You know, Andrew and Peter were sitting there fishing. There was a goodness to their lives. It's a respectable profession to be a fisherman. And there's something, the familiarity of it, but there's something when Jesus shows up that he prompts them, that he says, come, follow me, and they leave immediately and follow him. Sometimes we do that when our lives aren't so good. I mean, I know people in recovery who, for them, there's a moment where, no, actually life isn't good, right? The life as they're living it, life as they know it isn't good, and there comes a moment where they have to come to the end of themselves and turn and do a different direction and leave that way of being to step into something deeper, to step into something more meaningful. So I don't think we always have to go far away to do that. Sometimes it happens. It's not like we always have to leave to go on grand adventures somewhere else. Sometimes the adventure is close at hand. Sometimes the adventure is near. Sometimes the adventure is right underneath our nose, right? It's right in the context of our lives. That's why I like this Frederick Buechner quote in our bulletins. The message has been, repent, for the kingdom of God is near. And I've said it before, and I said it in a different sermon, the sermon that failed with the overhead projector and the sunlight. But often when we hear the word repent, we've been trained to think of it as contrition, which is how the Latin West has always heard the sense of repent, to be sorry, to feel sorry, to do penance for the things you've done that are wrong, right? That's often what we hear when we hear the word repent, to get on your knees and pray, right? Which is, in their moments, when that is the most holy and sacred thing that you can do. Where that is a holy, sacred, life-transforming sort of thing to do. Right? But it's a narrow view of what repentance is. Because the word in Greek actually doesn't mean contrition. The word in Greek is metanoia. And the word metanoia means to turn, to change your thinking, to change your direction. And Jesus is saying, turn, repent, change your direction, turn, because the kingdom of God is near. What does that mean, that the kingdom of God is near? I like Buechner's take on it. If we only had eyes to see and ears to hear and wits to understand, we would know that the kingdom of God, in the sense of holiness, goodness, and beauty, is as close as breathing and is crying out to be born both within ourselves and within the world. We would know that the kingdom of God is what we all of us hunger for above other things, even when we don't know its name or realize that it's what we're starving to death for. The kingdom of God is where our best dreams come from and our truest prayers. we glimpse it in those moments when we find ourselves being better than we are and wiser than we know, we catch sight of it. When at some moment of crisis, a strength seems to come to us that is greater than our own strength. The kingdom of God is where we belong. It is home. And whether we realize it or not, I think all of us are homesick for it. That helps reframe it for me. Jesus said, repent, turn, for the kingdom of God is near. It's closer to you than you would ever imagine. Amen.